Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Right, well it's nice to be back from sunny California. I'm going to rub it in this morning. Could somebody bring me three chairs up onto the stage? Is that okay? Thanks, Colin. Three chairs. We're going to carry on with our three chair thing. Is that all right? California was amazing. Sun was shining. Deep blue sky. 85 degrees. I'm just really testing your love and your patience this morning. Joe and Jess say hi, and they're doing great. Joe's got lots of drumming work. It's amazing. He's living the dream. He's living in Southern California, and he's playing drums for a living. And he's just got asked to do a national tour with a solo artist guy over there. So he's going to be going all over the States for a few months, doing gigs and all sorts of stuff. And they're doing well. They've got a little puppy. I don't know what is it? Staffy Bull something or other. Anyway, it's a little thing. And anyway, if you like dogs, it's a dog. if you don't like dogs, it's a dog. All right. And brilliant. You're doing good though, yeah? It's nice to be home, though. It's nice to be back, and the sun is shining today. We ordered that just for this morning after yesterday's thing. Great. We want to just continue flowing on with what God is saying to us at the moment in different ways. I'm very much talking about living in the chair of the great rest. Pastor Colin's talking about, you know, this pathway, and the whole thing works together really well in terms of what God is saying and doing. But what I want to look at this morning, what I believe God wants us to look at, is living in the great rest, but and what that means in terms of relationship, but what does that mean in terms of prayer? Because everything that in our lives flows from our relationship with God. And how we pray, what we pray, and the faith and the expectancy that we have in prayer comes from our relationship with God. So I want to unpack a few verses this morning. Just to remind ourselves, though, three chairs that we've had. This one is the chair before you know God. And we called it the chair of separation, because before you know God, you're not in relationship with God. And therefore, you're separated from him in terms of a relationship with God, in terms of knowing God. This chair, as we called it, was the chair of the great rest, of the great I am. And if you remember some of the weeks we've had, you know, when you're sitting in this chair, everything is just okay. Everything's good. There's peace, total well-being, trusting in God. You just know he's got everything in hand. You can have the storms of life raging around you, but when you're sitting in this chair, there's peace, there's security. You just know it's okay. But then there's this one. And this chair, we said, was the chair of self, when we kind of step into our own efforts, our own strength, and we try and work this out. And we said that we can get pretty stressed out in this chair, fearful, worry. You know, stuff of life gets on top of us in this chair. Why? Because we move from a place of trust and a place of total well-being and resting in God. And we sit in a chair where we're trying to do it. We're trying to work it out. We take things on to our own shoulders, and instead of living at ease and at rest with God, we kind of take things on our own, and we're trying to work it out, up here we get stressed out, your nervous system start, you know, physically you can start having stuff going on, and it's not a nice place to live, is it? And what we do as Christians often is we're in here some of the time, and then we kind of slide over here some of the time. You know, and suddenly, I've lost my peace, I'm out of sorts, I just want to be back there. And then we kind of respond to God and we come back to this chair. And suddenly it's like, why did I go there in the first place? If God's the creator of heaven and earth, he knows all things, he knows my life from the beginning to the end, why do I kind of sometimes just slide over there hoping he doesn't notice? And just, you know, I can handle this, God, it's all right. I know you're the creator. I know you're here before I was, but I can handle this one, it's all right. And at first you think it's all right, and then you start to lose a bit of peace, you get a bit stressed and things don't go the way you sort of, am I hearing God? What should I do here? And you kind of get a bit confused and you hear all these different voices, everybody else's opinions, pressures, and suddenly you realise, what am I doing? And you go, God, I'm really sorry, God, I need to come back here where, you know, in the rest. I just need to come back to living in you fully rather than living in myself some of the time and living in you some of the time. What does God do when we slide from this one to that one? What does God do? I don't think he gets wound up. I don't think he gets upset. We've heard about God's mercy a lot recently, right? Yeah? Is that right? Well, we have anyway. So we've heard a lot about God's mercy. And what does he do when we slide into that one? He sits down. I think he kind of goes, all right, I just have to wait till you. See, God's given you free will. God doesn't control our lives. If we surrender and submit to him and allow him to lead us in our lives, then we give him the control in that sense. We say, God, I want to follow you, serve you. This is what this one is. It's total surrender. It's like, God, I want to surrender moment by moment. So it's a walk. So moment by moment, God, I want to stay surrendered in my thinking, my attitudes, my heart, decisions, all of that kind of stuff. And when we do step into our own, oh, I'm just going to do my own thing here, take it on myself. God doesn't go, what are you doing? What are you doing? I think he kind of goes, okay, all right, well, if you want to try, have a go and see. But while we're there, God's speaking to us. He's speaking to us. Now, the question is, when we're here, is are we listening? Because when you start living in this one or sitting in this one, it's not as easy to hear the voice of God here as it is if you're sitting here. Because here you're dependent. God, what are you saying? What do you want to do? How do you want things? You know, there's a sensitivity. There's a flow of something here. There's a flow of his life here. There's an ease. There's just a sense. You're picking stuff up. You're sensing things. You're perceiving things spiritually. You're understanding what God is saying. This one, you've got no idea because you're outside of relationship. But when God brings us from, and we respond to God and he brings us, this is where he wants us to live. But you see, when we step into this one and we sit in this one, for whatever reason, we then start getting to our own thinking, our own wisdom, our own stuff. And actually, is it God, is it not? What's God saying? What isn't he? I don't know. Is it God or isn't it? And that's when we start getting a bit confused. And that's when we actually start hearing things and we think it's God and it's not, it's us. And that's when you start saying, I've really heard God. I believe God's saying this. But other people who might be walking with you, friends or your small group leader or other leaders in the church, people who are maybe sitting in this one, they hear you say stuff in that one and they're going, it doesn't sit right with me. That's like, But you know, when you're in this one and you've been here for a little while or you're flicking in and out of this quite a bit and you think, well, I've heard God. No one, you know, or this is what I think, you know, or I feel something. And these guys here are going, But sometimes it's when you're here, you can be convinced that you've heard God when you haven't. You're just hearing yourself because you're hearing what you want to hear, not necessarily what God is saying to you. Because God doesn't always say things here that we like. But when we're in this one, we want to hear the things that we like to hear because it makes us feel better because we're a little bit out of sorts and a little bit. And whereas in this one, we don't mind if God says a few things that challenge us. Why? Because in this one, that's okay, God, I want to respond to you. We don't mind being challenged as well as encouraged because we know in this one, God's going to challenge us. Some attitudes, motives, thinking, whatever, and that. So we want to kind of just look at some things to do with prayer, a few scriptures this morning. So if you want to just turn to John 15 for a moment. Remember, everything we're talking about flows out of relationship or flows in relationship with God, okay? So John 15... these verses are very well known to probably a lot of you. Maybe some of you have never even read these before. But in this chapter, Jesus is speaking here and he's basically describing that there's a vineyard and that God as Father is like the gardener. He comes and prunes the vines, okay, in this vineyard. And what is fruitful, he prunes so it becomes more fruitful. And what doesn't bear fruit in this vineyard, example he's given, everything that's not fruitful, they cut it off and get rid of it because it's not going to bear fruit. So Jesus uses this kind of picture to describe what it's like to be in relationship with God. And what he says here is, let's have a look. Verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. So this place of the great rest, of the greater I am, this is a place of much fruit. It's interesting how the Bible says much fruit, not just fruit. But actually God wants us to produce much fruit in our lives. Now, that's not something he puts on us and says, now you go in your own strength and try and produce much fruit. He says, no, he said, if you stay in the great rest, if you abide in me, remain in me, as it says here, if he remains in me. Now, the word remain there, the root word is rest. So if you rest in me. And what does it actually mean? It means if you rest, not do nothing, as in just sit there all day and expect me to do it. What it means is rest from your own efforts. So we're still going to be doing stuff, but it's going to be done by God's life in us, not just in our own effort and our own strength, our own wisdom. So he's saying, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's pretty strong, isn't it? So apart from me, we can't accomplish anything that God wants to do. If anyone does not remain in me or rest in me, he is like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. But then it says in verse 7, look at this. If you rest in me or remain in me or abide in me, and my words remain or abide, or my word is resting, or my word is at work in you, it then says, ask whatever you wish. Now, here's some promises that God is giving about getting prayer answered. See, in this one, when we're here, there's all kinds of stuff going on and we want things to happen. But when we're in this place, stuff doesn't happen. God speaks to us in this place, but when you're in this one, you don't get healed. When you're in this one, you don't receive revelation from God. When you're this one, you don't get wisdom from God. When you're this one, you don't receive from God. What he does, he speaks to you, but he wants us to come back into that great rest with him. And as we respond and come back into the great rest, that is when you then begin to receive. Because that one is trusting myself, this one is trusting God. This one is my own wisdom, this one is God's wisdom. This one's my life and my efforts, this one's his life and his power. So it's in this one that you get revelation. It's in this one that you live in peace. It's this one you receive healing. It's this one that you receive wisdom. Why? Because this is, you're in the great rest. When you're in the great rest, you're in him, or you're living in him. It doesn't mean when we're here, we're not living in him. It just means we're not living and walking in him in the way he wants us to. We're still in Christ, but we're just not living as though we were in Christ. But when we're here, we're living and walking in Christ, and this is a place to receive, and you hear from God, and then it's not just what's happening in you, it's other people get blessed, because what they receive from you flows from a place of rest and peace and receiving, and therefore there's a flow of life in you, there's a flow of life through you. When it's this one, what do people pick up from us sometime? Frustration. You know, or then you're not happy, or you're not at peace, and people pick up stuff around our lives because they pick up where we're at and what we're going. When we're in this one though, it's like, wow, man, I've really noticed what's happening. You just seem to be at peace, or it's just great what's going on. You seem to, you know, why? Because we're allowing God to rule and reign in our lives. We're seeking moment by moment. Say, God, I want to submit this situation, this challenge, this circumstance, I want to, whatever is going on, God, I want to submit that, surrender that to you right now, because I want to stay in a place of surrender, stay in a place of relationship with you where I don't slide over to that one, but I stay here. So he says, if your word remains in me and my words, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given. See, when you're in this one, and most of us would know this, when we're in this one, what do we want? We want what God wants. See, when we're in this one, our desires are what His desires are. In this one, you find that you don't chase after things or stuff to try and be fulfilled, to satisfy you, because in this one you found, I am satisfied. I am fulfilled. Because He is my supply. He meets every need, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, whatever it is. So I'm not looking for somebody else or something else to satisfy something in me. See, what you feed grows, doesn't it? What you feed fills you and you become full of. And so when we slide over to this one and we're doing certain things and if we feed certain desires here, whatever they may be, then we get a hunger for those things and we're looking for that thing or other people or some situation, whatever, to satisfy us. But how many of you know, even before you knew God, your life was driven in certain ways for it to be more successful, to have the next thing, to have a bigger house, to do whatever was your thing before you got saved. And you discovered that when you got to that thing or you bought that thing or you had that pay rise or whatever it was that you were aspiring to and you got there, you found, it doesn't actually make the difference I thought it was going to make. I'm still the same person and I don't actually feel really any, might make you happy for a bit in a certain way, but you still know deep down that wasn't it. But when you come to know Christ, when you give your life to God, you there's a fulfillment. This is what life's about. This is why I'm here. I'm actually here to know God. And that's why when we step into our own strength or we try and fill our lives with something else, we lose our peace, we feel out of sorts, we get frustrated, we're all that kind of stuff. And as we seek to stay surrendered, then we're saying, God, I want to live in this one. So if His word, and what's His word? His word is His will. All His word does is describe what His will is. It describes who He is, what He's like, and how He wants to work in us and through us, what He wants to do. And so in this verse 7, He's saying, if you remain in me or rest in me, and my words are resting, working, abiding in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given. Wow, that's a pretty good promise there from God. There's another verse in 1 John 5, 14 and 15. The Bible says there, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. Now, if we're in the rest of God and we're seeking to live moment by moment, we're not coming cold to approach God saying, God, would you do this for me? We're living in a flow and in a relationship with God so that there's already a confidence there. You know, when we try and do things in our own strength and we lose sorts, we're a bit out of peace, you lose your confidence, don't you? Because you feel like, actually, I've got to get something sorted with God first before I can actually pray this or believe this because I'm not quite really sure where I'm at with God at the moment. I feel a bit out of it, a bit out of sorts. Whereas when you know you're in the rest of God, there's peace, there's that total well-being, there's that flow of life. It doesn't mean that we're perfect sitting here. Of course, we make mistakes, but this is where we're seeking to live, right? In that place, there's a confidence when you come before God. So you rock up to down a Sunday. When you're living in this place, it's not, well, I need 10 minutes to get me act together, get my head in gear, get myself sorted out because I don't know if I should really lift my hands and worship because I've had a rough week and I've been pretty awful. You know, if you seek into that moment by moment, you walk into a place like this on a Sunday and it's not, well, I need 5 minutes to get me act together. You've already done that before you've arrived. You know, because you got up saying, God, I want to live in the great rest today. You got out of bed in Christ today, whatever. And so, because that's your position. You do wake up in the morning in Christ. It's just you choose whether you walk in that or live in it today or whether you're going to live in that one. So you know, when you walk in, you know, to the building, let alone before the meeting starts, you know, you want to be a blessing to other people, right? But when we do start the meeting, you want to be, oh, God, you're brilliant. You're awesome. You're not taking 15 minutes and like, oh God, I'm a mess this morning. I had to go out with my kids, la, 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 la. The Wednesday, I was like a nightmare one night at tea time and I forgot about that and I'm just reminded now because it's the first time I've thought about you since Wednesday. Do you know what I mean? But if we're seeking to live moment by moment, then we keep really, really short accounts with God. Because it's not like, oh, when was the last time the Bible? Oh, where is it? Oh, it's got dust on it. Oh, I haven't... haven't read that for a couple of weeks, you know. Whatever. But if it's a moment by moment, there's a dependency. And the more of this moment by moment that you seek to live in, the more you realise how dependent I am on Him. And the quicker you begin to lose your peace. Before you've even gone to that chair, you've started to go there in your mind. And because of that awareness of God, it's like, no, I'm not even going to go there. God, right. You take captive that thought and you bring it under the lordship of Christ really quickly because you realise, no, I don't want to even go there. And everything that would mean in terms of losing my peace, getting frustrated, getting out of sorts or whatever. And so in this verse in 1 John 5, 14 and 15, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, the Bible says He hears us. That's amazing. That's brilliant. So this resting, this abiding, what you find is what you pray is what He wants. Because your desires and what you want is in line with what He is wanting. So there's another promise in line with what Jesus says here. So if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. So asking and receiving go together. But when you're in the great rest, when there's this moment by moment, you're asking what God already wants to do. And because we're asking what God already wants to do, because that's what's in your heart, that's what's your desire, you know, well, if it's God's will, He's going to answer it. Yes. See, in that one, quite often in this chair, what we're doing is we're praying and we're kind of asking God to do stuff because we want Him to do it. We're not sure, well, is that really what He wants to do at that moment? Whereas this one, you're kind of hearing God and you're submitting your desires and what you want to do and this, that and the other. God, I don't want to pray anything that's really not Your will. The what you want. So Father, in this place, what do you want? What's your will? What's your desire? What is it that you're... And what's happening is your desires are actually His desires or what He wants. So the desire in you is not, well, I should have those, I'm supposed to have those, so I better pray those. But here what you find is that's actually what I want too. So what you find you're praying is what God wants. Because your heart and your mind and everything is in line with His. So prayer in terms of being effective, there's an ease to effective prayer here because you don't feel like you're trying to get God to answer your prayer. Because here you're hearing God, this is what I want to do. And when God speaks, what happens? Faith gets released, doesn't it? Because God speaks, you're hearing God, you're receiving from God here. So there's a flow of His word and of His life and of His spirit here. So there's a flow of faith here. It's not, I've got to get some faith. See, when we're here, what we're saying is, oh, I've got to get some faith from God to get me out of here or to get an answer. And God's saying, no, no, no. What I want you to do is come back and rest in Me. So surrender, submit yourself afresh to Me, your thoughts, your desires, what you want to do, what you're stressed out about, what you're worrying about, your concerns, your kids, school, work, whatever's going on, all the stuff that you're kind of mulling over and it's causing you a little bit of unrest and you don't know what to do and you're thinking about it all the time, you can't sleep properly, all that kind of stuff. Just surrender all of that stuff and come back here. And when you find you're at rest in Me here, you're going to begin to hear some things. You're going to begin to receive from things. Then what you pray isn't trying to get some answers, but you're praying from a place of confidence knowing, well, Father, I thank You that because I'm at rest in You, I thank You that You're in charge. And whatever God, whatever we need to know at that moment, God will show us what we need to know in that place of rest. Hebrews 5, verse 7. There's a verse in there where the writer of Hebrews says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save Him from death. And He was heard because of His reverent submission. What is that? What's the reverent submission? It's Jesus living in the great rest. That's what He did. He managed it moment by moment. He surrendered Himself to the Father. And the Bible says He was heard because of His reverent submission. It doesn't say He was heard because He prayed really loud. So it's not, If I pray loud enough, God, would you hear me? If I sound more crying out enough and making it sound really passionate, would you hear me? No. The Bible says here he was heard because of his reverent submission. Because he sought to live in the great rest. He sought to live moment by moment. Reverence is an awe, isn't it? Jesus recognized, Father, I can't do anything unless you're showing me what to do. I don't even want to say anything unless you're giving me the words to speak. That's a pretty surrendered place to live, isn't it? But God has given us his Holy Spirit to enable us to live like that, which is amazing. I think it's amazing. Because in ourselves, we can't do it. It's like, oh, I can't live like that. And if any of us this morning say, Clive, that sounds amazing, that, but I can't do it. No, we can't. Galatians 2:20 says, I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And so the amazing thing is, God calls us to live a completely impossible life that is not possible for us to live. He says, I take you out of a life that you tried to live in your own strength, separated from me. I brought you into a new life with me, but don't try and live that now in your own strength. I give you the power, my Holy Spirit, to enable you to live in relationship with me, to live at one with me, to live in communion with me, to live in a place of rest, to live in a place of peace, to live in a place of total well-being. The world is just the same around our lives now as it was when we were in that one. It's just the same as it was if we sit in that one. It's just the same as we're sitting in this one. But how we walk through it is completely different sitting here than it is in either one of those. And what happens around us is different depending on where we are. So Jesus was heard for his reverent submission. Now that doesn't mean you have to try. What does it say in where is it? Where it says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil and he flees from you. Where's that? It's in the Bible somewhere. And should know that one, but anyway. But you see, what is this? This is submitting yourself to God. See, when stuff goes on, you can then resist the enemy and he flees. Because the enemy looks, the enemy sees which one you're sitting in. And in this one, the enemy's like, if he prays, I'm stuffed. The enemy looks at your life and my life and he's like, the devil knows which chair you're in. Whichever one. And if you're sitting in this one and you go, right, I'm not having that. The enemy has to flee. Why? Because in this place, you're sitting, you're living, surrendered, submitted to God. So there's stuff going on in your home. I'm not having that anymore. But if you try and deal with it in this one, in your own effort, strength, frustration, the enemy's like, I'm having a field day here. This is brilliant. I'm going to wind you up even more then, you know. Whereas when it's like, okay, God, I need to see a change here. But the first change is here, not around me. So the first change is, right, I'm just surrender myself afresh to you, God. I give you this situation. I give you the stress. I give you the circumstance. And what happens when you're doing that is you move back from there to here, right? And then it's like, right, and in the name of Jesus, I command all this stuff going on in my house, in my home, in my family, in work, whatever it is, I'm not having that any longer. I resist that, you know, whatever. And something begins to shift. Something begins to shift. Because the enemy has no chance when you're here. There might be some resistance here. Of course there will be. There's resistance here. But you push through it. And there's victory here. In that one, there is resistance, but there's a lot of turmoil as well. It's a bit of a playground for the enemy. So we want to live in this place. Then Mark 11, last verse we're going to look at. Mark 11, 22. Jesus says, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believe what he says, it will happen. It will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Wow. So obviously, and Jesus says that in a number of places, obviously not holding anything against anybody else is really important. So in this place of the great rest, it's a place of forgiving others. It's a place of mercy, as we've been hearing from Pastor Colin. It's a place where... See, what is mercy? Mercy basically says we're not treated in the way that we deserve to be treated. We're let off. That's what forgiveness is. When you forgive somebody, you're saying, I'm letting you off. That's it. I let you off. I let you off. No strings attached, nothing. I let you off. It doesn't matter what their response is, however they treat you, you're saying, I'm letting you off. Because that's what God did with us. He's let us off. We didn't deserve the cross, but he went to the cross so that we could be forgiven. We didn't deserve it, but he's let us off. And Jesus is saying here, don't hold anything against anybody else. If you're holding stuff against somebody else, that will keep us in that chair. And will stop us from receiving some things and flowing in some things that God wants us to flow in. So, but Jesus says here, have faith in God. It's hard to have faith here because you're caught up with yourself, your own thinking, your stress, your thoughts and what's going on, circumstances. Here, there's the same stuff going on around you, but in a place of rest, you're like, you hear from God because the noise around you is being submitted to God. And you begin to hear something and then faith begins to rise in you. Even though the circumstances at that moment are still the same. But something different's happening on the inside of you because that moment by moment with God, you're hearing, you're receiving and you're getting some stuff and you're like, yeah. And sometimes God will say something to you that doesn't sound related to the situation. Because God sees the bigger picture. In here, you're saying, God, what are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? And he's like, I want to say a lot, but you can't hear me. So what? Because you need to submit yourself and come back here. Then you'll hear some stuff. And when you hear from God, sometimes it sounds like, well, what's that got to do with the situation? But God speaks, something happens in you, faith rises up, whatever. And then you begin to move in the situation in a different way. Because you're now lined up with what God is saying. But he says, have faith in God. See, this chair or this way to live, that moment by moment, is saying, God, I trust you and not myself. God, I'm dependent on you and not myself. And the Bible says that in this place, this is where faith is initiated, is authored in our lives. But also in this place, this is a place that says, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Faith's an interesting one, isn't it? I think we said this a few weeks ago. If we, Pastor Colin gave this analogy, didn't he? That if this is the moment we gave our lives to the Lord and this is our life and our walk and God is here, in one sense, looking over our lives and he's put his Holy Spirit in us and he speaks to us into our lives so that we know how to walk, you know, how he's called us to be. We still have a will to choose whether we're going to do that or not in our lives. But as we choose to respond to God and walk in the way that he knows best, then if we understand that maybe we're here, you know, we got saved there, we're here and wherever in our lives, and we understand that he's made provision for everything we're ever going to need, whatever that is, the wisdom you need here or provision for that or whatever it is. And if we know in this moment, I have everything I need right now, because we only live in the now with God, don't we? There's no point trying to work tomorrow out when we haven't got there yet. If you need to know something about tomorrow, today, he'll let you know what it is if you need to make some plans that will affect tomorrow or next week or next month, whatever. If you need to know something about down there because of what needs to happen between here and here for some reason, he'll let you know something today. But sometimes when we're here and we're like, we're frustrated with God, this, that, that, we can't hear God. It's you know... Because it's difficult to hear God. We're hearing five things. Which one's God? Which one's God? Whereas in here, you're not particularly looking to hear God on stuff because you know, well, he's got it. He's sorted it anyway. I'm trusting him. And if I need to know something, you can let me know. I don't know about you guys, but when I'm praying, I don't ask God questions. Do you do that? You know, I just say to the Lord, okay, Father, I thank you. I'm here with you. You know what I need to know. You know, all the stuff that I'm involved in, decisions that need to make, things like this, la, 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 la. You need what, you know. So thank you that you show me what I need to know without me having to sort of constantly ply you with loads of questions, you know. Because when we ask questions, sometimes what we're actually doing is reminding God, God, have you forgotten, have you forgotten, have you forgotten? I think I need to know. So what we're doing, a lot of the time with questions, we're here. God, I think I need to know this. So what is the answer? And actually here Is it okay for you not to have the answer? And so that doesn't mean I'm not bothered or I don't care what happens. But what it's saying is I can't live trying to do this in my own strength, trying to work it out and get... It's like, God, I want to walk with you, live in this place of rest. And in this walk, it's not just sitting down doing nothing, but it's, this is the way we're trying to give a picture. But in this walk, you know what I need to know. There's a download. And as you actually walk in this, there's a flow of stuff that you hear where you don't have to ask questions because there's a flow of hearing God. There's a flow of revelation. There's a flow of stuff here. And that's what this is. It's a flow of life. So you actually find you're not asking loads of questions because there's a flow of something, a flow of God speaking. And why? Because you're living in that with God. Let's stand together, shall we? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know. I don't know how many times a day, you know. But just I'm sitting down for a few moments. Jane's constantly saying to me, "Are you in the rest? You all right? You in the chair?" I'm like, "Yeah, mate." You know, there are moments where I'm like, "I'm not in the chair," or it feels like there's a, you know, I had one of those earlier in the meeting. But anyway, and so I won't tell you what it was, but I had one earlier in the meeting, and I was like, I'm not going to get up in the wrong chair. So I was like, ain't you Jesus, you're in charge, you're Lord, you're King, so I'm just going to chill out and relax and whatever. So, because I know when I go from here to here, God's shown me over the last couple of months, the moments, the different things in my life where I go from there to there. And sometimes it happens in meetings, and that's one of the things God's working on in me, that it's not your meeting, it's my meeting, as in his meeting. So it's like, all right, you do what you want then. And do you know what I mean? And in the same way, our lives are his life. Our lives belong to him, right? Let's just pray, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. God's really encouraging us at the moment, live in the great rest. And we've used chairs as an example. It's a good one because you have to sit and rest. But stuff goes on in our lives and around our lives, circumstances. Maybe you've had some things a few weeks ago that are sorted, done and dusted, great, and you know, thanks, Jesus. But there might be some other things that have come up on this walk, circumstances, pressures, whatever. But God wants us to cultivate living in this moment-by-moment relationship, living in the great rest. And we see that there's a flow of life, of his life in us. There's a flow of him speaking. There's a flow of receiving. But also there's a flow of giving. Because when you're living in the great rest, you know God's in charge. You're not worrying about stuff. And as well as receiving God, you find there's a greater flow of giving. You want to give to others, bless them, whatever that looks like. Because there's more of a flow of something. You're at rest. You're at peace. You're not stressed in the way you were. You're not worrying about stuff in the way you were. You're giving stuff much more quickly to the Lord. You're keeping short accounts. It's like your mind starts to notch up a few gears in a situation and it's like, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to take that on board and begin to slide from one to the chair to the next. No, I'm going to capture that at this moment. Say, no, God, I want to stay in the rest. Maybe some of you have noticed that there's things that don't affect you in the same way they did a few weeks ago because you've been cultivating this. See, this is a walk. This is a moment by moment. This is a cultivate. This isn't an automatic. Well, I choose to be in the great rest. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. I'm in the great rest all the time. Hallelujah. You are in terms of your position in Christ, but you've got to walk that out. But you're not trying to walk that out. What you're doing is saying, God, I just surrender afresh to you now. Surrender to you fresh now. 10 minutes time, God, I surrender to you afresh now. In an hour's time, God, I surrender to you afresh now. Thank you, I walk in you right now. Thank you for your heart, your nature, your response, your mind, your thinking. your body language, the way I look at others, speak to them. Thank you. It's you, the flow of your life in me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe some of you here today, you don't know Jesus. You've never met him before. And you're like, well, I think I'm sitting in this chair of separation that you pointed out at the beginning. And I've never known God. I've never thought about this, how you've described God and that kind of relationship. Maybe some of you, you're like, man, if God is like that, I want to know him. And God is like that. God is a person. Maybe not a person in a physical body like we have, because the Bible says God is spirit. But he says we're created in his image. That means God has a heart, he has a mind, he thinks, he's got emotions. He doesn't have a physical body, but he's put the image of who he is in a physical body. And he's created us as people to know him and have relationship with him. And maybe there's something on the inside of you that's pulling on you this morning, and you're like, yeah, for some reason, it might make sense in your head, but there's something more going on deep in the depth of your life at this moment, saying, there's something pulling on the inside of me, and I know it's not just my thinking, my mind, my own reasoning. There's something going off on the inside that's saying, God is real. And there's something on the inside of me that's saying, I'm created to know God, to have a relationship with him in the way that's been spoken about this morning. There's some kind of sense of atmosphere and feel here, whatever words you might have used. It's because God's here and he's showing himself to you. And if anybody is here this morning, you don't know God and you want to respond, we're just going to just pray something very, very simple just to take a first step towards God. And maybe others of you want to pray, just in terms of sitting in the great rest this morning. Father, we just come to you this morning as a whole body of people. Thank you that you made it possible for us to live at one with you, to live at peace with you. Father, I just pray for any person here that doesn't know you this morning, and that you are showing yourself to them, that you're real, that you're alive, and you want them to know you. If there is anybody here this morning and you're saying to God, I want to take that first step towards you, just tell him, just say something like, God, I'm here. I want to respond to you today. I want to go move from separation to the great rest. And I want to hand over my life to you today. I need to be forgiven of all the things I've done that have separated me from you. And I ask you to do that right now. Forgive me. God, I ask you to come into my life. I want to take that first step. I want to give you my life today. And as that guy said from the front, I want to walk with you and walk out what that means for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you might have prayed that this morning, just responding to God or something like that. And that's just the first step in terms of responding to God. If that has been in your heart this morning, I'm here right at the end of the meeting in a couple of minutes' time and love to chat with you, pray with you. There'll be other guys, other people, men and women, who are part of the Connect team, the welcome team, that greet people, help people to just have a great morning. Some of those guys will be up to your right in a moment if you want to come and chat with any of them. If you've come with a friend, get them to bring you down. If you want to ask questions, chat, find out a bit more. Or if anybody else needs any ministry or prayer for anything, then just come to the front and the guys will pray with you. Father, I thank you that the world doesn't need a church that is living in its own effort and strength, but the world needs a church, people that are living in the great rest. Because in that place, there's love in our relationships, there's forgiveness, mercy, grace, and all that stuff. And the world sees then that we're your disciples. So, Father, I thank you for your hand upon our lives. We just speak blessing over our homes, our families, our marriages. We just speak your goodness over the workplace, all the places that we're going to be today, tomorrow, this week, in the workplace and out and about, all the things going on. Father, I just thank you that you enable us to live in the great rest this week. that wherever we go, we take your life, your peace, your power into situations that where people are living in turmoil, where they're living in pain, where they're living just where the enemy's running rampant in their lives, Father, in all kinds of circumstances. Father, enable us to be people of life and light in those situations, that you'd lead us by your Spirit, that people's lives can be impacted today, whether in the body or outside of the body, part of the church or not part of the church. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your name. Amen. 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 Just turn to somebody next to you. Say hi to them, but say, I want to live in the great rest this week.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.